I hope that saints these days we will sing a lot more. At least to start with, I'd like to suggest these songs on gospel preaching and on the gospel itself. So in the supplement section, it used to be called of our hymnal, definitely 1293 on "Oh, I'm a man, I'm a meaning of the universe," you know that song. And at the end, the last verse 5, what shall we do? We should go and tell the world of this. Disciple all, this is our call. Let us spread the news abroad to every land. This song is very dear to me. I might have a part in writing this. This is back in 1971 or two, there in a place called Embassy Auditorium on Figueroa Street in downtown Los Angeles, where we have a conference for the young people at the time in that old theater. And Brother Lee, for the first time, had banners hung in the four sections of the hall of the theater. And I remember this so much because I was very young at the time, in college, and I was tasked to take care of the banners, and that I did. Christ is the meaning of the universe, or rather, man is the meaning of the universe. Christ is the meaning of the human life. The church is Christ's expression on the earth. And then let us go and tell the world of this, something like this. What you see here in this hymn is based on those banners or that conference. And I remember those days very, very fondly and even very clearly. And that was the first time when a bunch of young people from Germany showed up. And I recruited them and then to help. And with some young people, we put up that these banners. And now, of course, we don't quite have them anymore. But this whole white background, red letters, which is very much from the Taiwan. You can say I was the one who took the lead to make those things because they found out I was an architectural student and I must be good at this. And so, but it's not just about the banners, it's about the speaking and the burden in those days, you know, brother. We were still in the glowing, if you will, the afterglow, I use this word, of the of that revival in LA, in Eldon Hall, and which resulted in many, many young people and seekers. And now this is not even just older people like preachers and pastors, missionaries and that sort of people. But people on the street, people, young people from the campuses, all kinds, and some of the ones who are here on the screen may have come in at that time, up in the Bay Area. And so the spirit was so powerful, the message is so strong, and the burden is just so hot, and the fire was burning. The fire was burning. Now, as I said, when I talk about things of the past, I am not pining for the good old days, and let's go back to that. It's over. Those years are over long ago. I rather look for even something more than that. How about that, saints? Well, why should we be just looking back and just be nostalgic? We should have the faith and the anticipation and the expectation that the so to speak the glory in the latter years or days should be more than the former. Am I right? The latter rain should be more abundant than the early rain. And so if we are just looking backwards, the rear view mirror, I mean, it inspires and it stirs me up. But no, brothers, I look to the Lord. I pray to the Lord for a new, that new revival, that great revival, that final revival that would consummate this age. I don't know what that would look like. I don't know how that would happen. But I know one thing, that I, in my heart, I want to be in that revival. I want to be part of that. And I would, even if I don't see it with my own eyes, I want to contribute to that. When this burden for such a revival in Brother Lee's description or way of putting it, a revival that we have never seen before, I was just drawn. I was just stirred up. And he said, charge us there in Southern California, you need to be regularly praying for this revival to come. So we did that, and in my heart, we is still there, the burden, and I hope we all have this burden to pray. Now, we're not talking about Pentecostal-type revival. We're not talking about those miracles, healing and tongue speaking and that sort of thing. Neither are we talking about the kind of among the evangelical Christianity, they are also hoping some kind of a revival. That's better. That's an improvement from the so-called Pentecostal kind. But certainly with what the Lord has given to us in the revelation that we have seen, we're looking for even a higher revival, a deeper revival. And just like everything, there's always what is outward and what is inward, what is on the circumference and what is at the center. And based on what we have seen and what our brother has spoken to us, the vision that we have received, surely we should have this burden to be part of that most inner revival, the center of this revival. Of course, when the Spirit moves, and that's what a revival is, that the Holy Spirit would move in a special way, in an unprecedented way, in a mighty way, there would be manifestation of that. It is not a hidden thing. It is a would be a very something that is manifests itself, and that manifestation, you know, I wouldn't say there's nothing miraculous. There cannot be any works of wonder. Who am I to say that? But I am saying that what we are looking for is not just that those things, but truly an inner revival that starts from our spirit and through the working of the sevenfold intensified spirit. Remember, there's such a thing. And that truth concerning the sevenfold intensified spirit was released in 1969, just 2 years or 3 years before this conference that I just mentioned. So we were just in the reality, I will tell you, of the sevenfold spirit, which is the seven lamps of fire burning that is sent forth to all the earth running to and fro, fulfilling God's economy. We were in the reality of that, experiencing that burning spirit, this sevenfold intensified spirit is also the seven eyes of the Lamb. that is watching, that is judging, that is transfusing, that is infusing, and all the things that we heard in those days, they were so real to us. And we were living it. Like this song says, it's not just what we talk about, but it's in our daily living. This spirit has just consumed us and permeated us in those days. And it was in those years that there was a great influx and a powerful increase in the Lord's recovery from a few hundred there in Eldon in the 60s or late 60s until 1974, 73, 74. There would be thousands in this country because right there we always also had that great migration of saints moving out of LA and also there in Texas as well. That migration that spread the Lord's testimony to the major cities in the U.S. at the time. So that rain was just powerful. The whip blowing of the wind is just powerful, and the results are also powerful. And having tasted that, brothers, I just have this great desire within me, this immense hope within me that we should experience this again, but even in a more real way, in a more even more powerful way, as we should. So what are we doing now? I would say everything that we do should have such a revival in view. Wouldn't you not agree with me? Otherwise, what are we looking forward to? Well, you say we're looking for the Lord's coming. Surely we are, the Lord's return. We're looking to the restoration. When the Lord manifests himself again, surely we're looking to that. We're looking forward to the kingdom to come. Surely we're looking to that. But you have to realize before all this can happen, there has to be something that take place on the earth, right? Then we talk about there has to be the gospel of the kingdom that has to be preached to all the inhabited earth, am I right? Before the end may come, the end referring to the end last days of this age. In the Old Testament, when the prophets talk about the restoration, it's in the form of a revival. In the form of revival, it's in Psalms, it's in Isaiah, it's in the prophets. They're looking forward, the Jews, to that kind of that restoration. We should be looking forward to such a revival. You see how the real outworking of the reality of the body of Christ, that is a revival, am I right? The real appearance of the corporate God-man living or life, that is a revival, right? As I mentioned, the spread of the gospel of salvation and the word of the truth, even the gospel of the kingdom, that is a should be also a sign of that revival. And Brother Lee, in his last days on the earth, his ministry, knowing his days are numbered or short, pass on nevertheless such a burden. And I will tell you that burden is still in me. We are not here, brothers, just another movement, another spiritual movement. We're like the brethren, we're with a lot of truths and so on. Yes, we are blessed with that. We have seen much more than what the brethren have seen, truly. They saw a lot of objective truths, but we have seen subjective truth, like we couldn't believe it. I mean, look, I mean, the subjective truth that has been ministered to us is just unbelievable, unbelievable. And from Genesis to Revelation, everything has been opened up. Just turn to your recovery version, open your life studies, and not to mention the crystallization studies. It's all there. But brothers, when I look at our condition, I just feel sorrowful, just so sorrowful that we are not matching all these things. Both what has been revealed to us, spoken to us, all printed there. We are short, and I don't want to see the Lord having to go to another people to work that out. Here we are. We're not huge, but we're not small either. If you count the number of saints in the Lord's recovery on the earth today, it's not that small a number, okay? What the Lord can do with this number should be quite marvelous, quite marvelous. But if only we are that people, we live as that people. We live with that kind of vitality. We you see when Burley used the word vital groups, the word vitality became very central to us. Vitality is not when you jump up and down merely. It may be that, but it's not just merely physical vitality. Vitality is, my goodness, when you are filled with the truth, let's say, you study the truth, you are just flooded with that truth. You're vital. You're vital. You are filled with vitality, and all you want to do is to speak this truth, pass on this truth, further this truth, propagate this truth, proclaim this truth. When you see this morning before we start, I just kind of thumbed through Romans, the book of Romans, the Gospel of Romans. They say that the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We're missing out a gospel number five. There's a gospel number five, and that is gospel of Paul. And that gospel is much more than the first four. The first four gospels covers the Lord when he was in the flesh. Am I right? All the way from the incarnation to his resurrection, and that's all. Paul's gospel pick up from that point to bring us to what? To the and of course in Acts you have the coming of the Spirit and the continuation of that. But in terms of the truth, in terms of the view, Paul's gospel bring us to what? To the indwelling Christ, not just the Christ that lived on the earth, that walk among the disciples. That's wonderful. That is wonderful. And sometimes when I was young, I wish I was in those days and not living today, not realizing that today is seven times better. And that is, we don't have Christ living outside of us. We have Christ living inside of us. And so Romans cover that. Romans cover that from condemnation to sanctification, eventually to transformation, to glorification, eventually even to the local churches. All of that is Paul's gospel. Paul's gospel. Paul's full gospel of God, the gospel of his son, Jesus Christ. And brothers, that's what we have received. And consider how many Christians today know about that, have heard about that, or experiencing that. How many? Very, very few. Very few. And yet here we are. We have it. And even to certain extent we're experiencing it. Are we to be happy? Are we to be contented? Are we to just to be satisfied with this? No, brothers, I cannot. I cannot. I am thinking of ways to get this word out. You know, next year is this country's 250th anniversary, right? Next year, from 1776 to 26. And there will be a great celebration. And a brother just contacted me and say, next year, from Philadelphia, he said, next year there will be tremendous celebration in Philadelphia, because it's all where it all began, so to speak. And he said, can we consider a massive passing out of the recovery version in Philadelphia next year? I said, wow, absolutely. If we don't do this, shame on us. Shame on us. You know, we go to France to pass this out in the Olympics. We are going to go to the Italy to pass out Bibles. Have we forgotten about this country, brothers? Have we forgotten what the Lord still must do and have to do in the USA? So next year is a celebratory year, a big year, and many people of this country will go to those places. And what about this, brothers? I mean, should we not be stirred up to do that? And to do that, we have to order Bibles now. We have to so. I'm not here again, you know, promoting BFA or anything. Brothers, I'm just saying there is such a burden. There should be such a burden within us. Then 4 weeks ago when I spoke to you, it was after the death of that brother, Charlie Kirk. And I'm not here to drop his name, invoke his name, for any other purpose than to say that somehow he's brought onto the scene, somehow even he was used in a way by the Lord in his sovereignty to not only him but others, but surely he was a part to bring about this turn of a tide among the younger generation to the Lord, to the Word of God, to the gospel, and even though that terrible tragic event took place, nowadays it's so easy. The news cycle, you just forget about it. It's like it's over, you know, let's move on. Brothers, I tell you, the Spirit is moving. I just talked to a brother in South Carolina. They visited, there's a group of dear saints now in Charleston. They're burdened for the Lord's testimony. They're in Charleston. Pray for that, South Carolina. And they went to visit a school, a college campus there. I don't know what that is, but they said they went there and they passed out Bibles. This brother said, I've never seen people so open. I've never seen people so open to the word of the Lord. And I believe it, brothers. So all this is to say the Lord is still having mercy on this country. This Lord is still blessing this country. This country stands with Israel, and whoever blesses Israel will be blessed. I believe that, and I don't speak these things from a politic standpoint. I'm just speaking from the Bible. I'm a Bible teacher, and that's all I care for. So, saints, the Lord is still moving, okay? The Lord is still moving, desirous to move. The Spirit is just, You know, in Genesis 6, the Lord, God said the whole world has become flesh, just one big flesh. And I will not strive with this anymore. I'm just going to get rid of it. I'm just going to send a deluge and get rid of it and have to start all over again. My spirit will not strive with this flesh. When God stops striving, that's the end of it. All right? When God stops striving with you, that's the end of you. It's a mercy that God is still striving, that God is still working, God is still laboring. God has not dismissed you or me. God has not written this country off. Not yet. Brothers, and according to the our brother's feeling and interpretation, which I fully subscribe to, the Lord will need this country and use this country until the very end of this age, brothers and sisters. And we are here, and we are here. And so he needs this country. He needs the next generation of the country. He needs this country to still be for him. At least a part of this country would still be for him. And you cannot say this in all the Western countries. So you have an administration that is friendly to this or even supporting this. All this, brothers, should say something to us, should say something to us. To me, what it says is it's time. We need to rise up and cooperate with the Lord like never before. More than 1960s, more than 1970s. This is 2020s, all right? 2020s. This is like 50 years later, brothers. And I say this word especially to the younger brothers, the older one of us like me, we've just been there. You know what I mean? You need to rise up. You need to rise up and see this and be burdened for this. Don't be small. Don't just always be consumed with your little universe, your little world. God is working. The Father is still operating. The Son is still working, and the Spirit is still moving. The Triune God is still moving very, very much, if you have the eyes to see it. And what we should do, we cannot do everything. Our number is small, but based on what we have been given, based on what we have experienced, based on the commission that we have received in the Lord's recovery, there is much for us to do. There's much for us to do. It's not even just about gaining us some increase in the Bay Area or in Northern Cal, merely that. Of course, we pray for that. We need that. And that is certainly a blessing and a manifestation of the Lord's blessing. But I hope that you can, by my speaking, you can see there's a bigger picture here, a bigger picture here. Sing these gospel songs, dear saints, in these days. These songs are all from that era among us, 1293, 1294. Come, let us speak till the kingdom of the Lord's come down. Remember that song? Let's sow the seed, let's spread the gospel. The harvest is ripe, and the song we just sang, 1295. Sing, the singing, brothers, the proper kind of singing stirs us up. And I'm thinking even we have other songs we can sing that Brother Lee used to lead us to sing when he gets into the matter of the gospel. And that is in the 900s on preaching of the gospel in our hymnal, preaching of the gospel. So you have Fanny Crosby in 921, rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave, weep over the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. singing these songs will induce you, will cause you to be burning, to have a heart for men, to be one with the Lord, with his intense desire that all men will be saved and to come to the full knowledge of the truth. You have 9:22, to the lost world minister Christ, not just by word but by life. And then in 1923, go and collect materials for the house. Go and collect. Go, Christ proclaiming on the body ground. Go thus in oneness with the faithful saints and let the trumpet of gospel sound. See? And then 9:25, on the outreach of the gospel, grant us, Lord, the living outflow. May thy life through us be seen, through us as the living vessels, quicken people from within. And then 9:28, on preaching of the gospel, is your life a channel of blessing? Is the love of God flowing through you? Are you telling the lost of the Savior? Are you ready his service to do? Make me a channel of blessing today. All right, make me a channel of blessing, I pray. My life possessing, my service blessing, make me a channel of blessing today. Brothers, 9:30, must I go empty-handed? I think I even talked about some of these songs before a few years ago. But brothers and sisters, let us stir up the fire of the gospel. Gospel is not a doctrine. Gospel is a fire. Gospel is a fire. Even the gospel of the kingdom is a fire. When the fire is burning, it will consume everything on its way. All right? We ourselves need to be burning, just burning with such a fire. We even consume with such a fire. You know, the Lord says, He's just consumed about the temple. You know, that's when he went and just kind of cleansed the temple. He's entirely consumed. Brothers, when we are consumed with this thing, I tell you, we will go. We will go. What is a proper small group? A proper small group is a group that is a gospel station. All right? It's a gospel station. It is a shepherd's tent. It is a place where we feed people. This is a place where we share Christ with people. It is a place where we bring people into the church life, which is the goal of the gospel, and so on. If the gospel is just week after week, just you looking at me, I looking at you, reading something and doing something, brothers, that there's no vitality there, there's no livingness there, there is no life. Brothers, I don't care. You may even have all these outlines and you do everything right, but there's no operation there. There's no power there. There's no effect there. There's no result, living results there. And then what is that? That is just a formality. All right, that's a formality. We need group meetings that are full of people that are besides themselves, that are just crazy. The people that are living, that are burning, that are living and active. They sing, they praise, they're just released, they're exercised. See, this is what we are missing today, brothers, I'll tell you. It's not about a method, all right? It is not about even so-called a way. It's about persons that are enlivened, persons that are living, persons that are vitalized and vital, you know, with a burden for people, with a burden for others, with a burden for the gospel. That's what it is about. That's what we make our group meetings proper. So, let me just say one more thing about this matter of the gospel. So I was in Romans, am I right? And you have to come to Romans 10 because Paul here talk about the working out of this gospel. You know, that's the chapter, the famous chapter, where we with the verses that we always use to bring people to the Lord. You know that no distinction to rather if you confess, sorry, that the word is near you, right? Even in your mouth and in your heart, the word of the faith which we proclaim, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This is a gospel. This is a gospel. This is a call to action with someone that you're burdened with, that you're speaking the gospel to. For with the heart there's believing unto righteousness, with the mouth there's confession unto salvation. For the scripture says, everyone who believes on him will not be put to shame, for there's no distinction between Jews and Greek. For the same Lord is of all, is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call upon him into whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe unto him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without one who proclaims him? And how shall they proclaim him unless they are sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those who announce the news of good things. I was just captivated again by this word, which is a quote, by the way. It is a quote from Isaiah 52. How beautiful are the feet of those who announce the good tidings. That's the gospel. That is the gospel, the news of good things. And I even like this word beautiful. Beautiful are the feet. You know, this reminds me of Ephesians 6, doesn't it? Shouldn't it? That it says part of the whole armor of God is the what? Is the feet shod with the gospel. The feet, the gospel of peace, right? It anchors us even in that warfare, the spiritual warfare, as part of the armor of God. So it matches, right? How beautiful are the feet of those who announce the news of the good things. These days, brothers and sisters, I wish the whole recovery will put on these gospel shoes as part of that armor, as part of Christ, and proclaim the good tidings, to go and proclaim the gospel, and I mean the full gospel, the gospel with the judicial redemption and the gospel that has covers the organic salvation, the whole full gospel, the gospel of Romans, the gospel of Christ with the church, that whole gospel we need to go and preach, all right? And teach these things. You know, this word beautiful in Roman, I'm not a Greek person, okay? But I checked a little bit this word Greek. It means seasonal. It means something that is timely, something that is flourishing, something that it belongs to the right hour. So the meaning is that there is a timeliness about it. Okay? There's a timeliness about it. How timely, okay? How timely. You remember Paul charged Timothy, preach the word, right? In season and out of season, do the work of an evangelist. So you may say every season is the season of the gospel. The gospel is seasonal. In this sense, every season is the season of the gospel. But there is another sense that the Spirit moves in a particular seasonal way. And when the Spirit moves, that is a fresh season of the gospel. The Pentecost, right, in Acts 2, that is a season There's a new season. That is a new age. There is a moving of the spirit in a very particular way. And so the believers cooperated with that, you know, first to with the apostles preaching, then in the saints spreading, right, by being persecuted to Samaria and Judea. You just see the spirit is just working and working there, but with human beings cooperating. And what you see is a beautiful scenery, a beautiful scenery, right, of these feet, right? Even I think in the Old Testament about the what is that animal that leaps on the hill? Am I right? The Naphtali or whatever that signified the preaching of the gospel, right? Something like this, brothers. I just feel it is time for that. It is time for that. You say, oh, we're not ready, brothers. When will we be ready? You tell me, okay, the train is leaving the station. You say, I'm not ready. The boat is really leaving the dock, and you say, I'm not ready. Brothers, you know, you say, I'm not so vital. I'll tell you, there are two ways to be vital, okay? One is we need to pray, all right? We need to pray. We need to confess our sins. We need to deal with the Lord. We need to repent. All of that we talk about. To be vital. But let me tell you another way to be vital. Take action. You don't wait until you're vital to then take action. You take action and you become vital. In fact, the reason you're not vital is because you don't act. You think, you sit there. The word in John 15, right, about the branches. These are not just branches sitting there on the vine. In verse 16, it says, "Well, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and have set you. I have placed you, right? That you should, what? Go forth to bear fruit and that your fruit would remain." That going forth, Brother Lee said, going forth shows that this has to do with gospel preaching. This has to do with going to contact people. And that fruit is not just this fruit of the Spirit. That fruit is tangible fruit that are human beings, sinners that are saved, regenerated. That is the remaining fruit. And, oh my, saints, it is time. I just say this. It is time to take action. It is time to go. You say, go where? All kinds of places. I mean, we can go to Philadelphia, okay? You know what I'm talking about. We can go to your local market, a farmer's market. You can go to your local mall, you can go to your local campus, you can go to your local neighborhood, you can go to your local park, you can go to your friends, you can go to your relatives, you can go to your colleagues, you can, dear brothers, we are not short of places to go to. The problem is, are we burdened? Are we burning? Are we vital? Are we alive? Are we concerned? Is our feet beautiful? That's what it is. That's what it is. Next week, Tuesday, I'm going to give a word to these so-called player coaches that are gathered together for a retreat down here. And I prepared a couple of outlines, and one of them speaks about, I set here, the seven beautiful statuses of those who proclaim the good news. The seven beautiful statuses of those who proclaim the good news. I'll tell you what it is now. Number one, these are our status if we are those who proclaim the gospel. Number one, we are evangelists. Maybe not big evangelists, maybe small potato evangelists, but we are evangelists to proclaim the gospel. Number two, we are heralds. You know, heralds, Paul says, I'm a herald and an apostle and a teacher, right? A herald is one who is the official proclaimer, you know, a reporter. That's quite a status. I mean, you are sent, you're appointed. But Paul says, I'm appointed and a herald, and so are we. Number three, we're fishers. Paul says, when he called Peter, am I right? You know, Peter, he told him where to fish. This is at the beginning. Later on, you know, in the Sea of Tiberias, that was the end. It's a similar experience. And so the Lord says what? I'm going to make you what? Fishers of men. That means, the meaning is catch men alive. Go and catch men alive and bring them into the kingdom. Fishers, we are fishers. And then the next status is that we are priests. What priests? Right here in Romans, we are all the what? The energizing priests of the what? Of the gospel, to offer up sinners as sons to God. And then we are what? We are, Paul says, ambassadors. We have the highest authority. All authority has been given to me. Go as my ambassadors of the kingdom of the heavens and speak the mysteries of the gospel. Paul said that. And then the next thing, another one is, we are branches. For sure, we are branches to bear fruit. Much fruit, remaining fruit. And finally, we are what? Fathers. Because Paul said what? Paul said, you have many guides, but not many fathers. But I in Christ have begotten you, right? As your father, dear children, through the gospel. So I just want to say this, dear saints, our eyes are open to see the Lord's desire, God's need today, and the recovery's need today, and we would ourselves would be set afire, would be aflamed, would be kindled, would be even fanning our spirit into flame, burning, experiencing this sevenfold intensified spirit, brothers, we would have nothing else to do but this. This is our need. This is our need. I'd like to ask brother, his brother Martin here. I want him to give a little testimony. You know, we have some fellowship recently up in the Sacramento Valley area, you know, along this line. And our brother has some the testimony of what he did and or does, I suppose. And I don't think Martin will think he's so special, right? He's some great evangelist. I don't think he thinks that way. But all it takes is one of us, just one of us. Sisters, you say, I'm just a sister, I cannot do anything. No. You're wrong. You are absolutely wrong. You can do, you have these sevenfold statuses. You have been appointed. You have been called and chosen. You have been assigned. You have been commissioned in every way to go. Sisters, you can go. You can talk to women. You can talk to mothers. You can talk to your colleagues. You can talk to people. You can give away Bibles. You can send them these BFA videos. You can send them the tracks. You can, so much we can do. So much we can do. If every one of us little potatoes would do that, there will be a burning fire in your local church. In your local church, brothers, these are not the time to be so orderly, so right, so proper. I'm not for confusion. I'm not for chaos. I'm not for that. But you know what I mean. When something is living, when something's burning, there's something timely there, right? The rain is pouring. You better get the buckets out, right? The fish is in the ocean at night. You better get your net ready. Am I right? The harvest is ripe. You better get your combine going, right? And reap. Brothers, the Spirit is moving. The Spirit has been moving. It is now even moving right now. What are we doing? I'm ready to cry, brothers and sisters. We are ready. Who says we are not ready? Only the devil will say that because he doesn't want anyone saved. He wants everyone crushed and destroyed and stolen, usurped. We are ready. We who has more truth than we have? Even the gospel. Who has this gospel? You said, I'm so small, and we're just a few people in this town. No, it does not matter. Talk about small group, in the just look at the first church in amongst the Jews in Acts 2. After they're saved, 5,000, 3,000, 5,000, they have nowhere to meet. There's no meeting halls. That's just a temple. So they still gather there because of the Old Testament habit. But immediately it says house to house, in home after home. They broke bread and they ate together and they, you know what I mean? They fellowship. And that's their church life, in homes, in small groups, right? And that's how it is supposed to be. Then when they have that persecution, they have to spread out to the surrounding provinces and brought the gospel with them. And how did they meet? They met the same way. And so the gospel spread among the Jews at that time, right? And then when Antioch started, the Lord has a pivot and turned towards Asia Minor and eventually Europe through the ministry of Paul and Silas and Barnabas and others of that band of workers. And one significant step was the crossing of the sea into Macedonia and Greece and into Europe proper that Paul did. And the first place was Philippi. Remember Philippi? And he went there, and Paul had, all he could do is go to the river banks and start talking. That's what he did. Paul, evangelist, just nobody. He just, of course, later on he went to synagogues and whatever, to discourse with the Jews. But he was just there at the river banks, and one of the Jewish lady there, the lady who sell purple, and that is Lydia, right? Heard and was attracted and drawn. And right there, she and her whole household were baptized, and they start using her house. And then after the Paul and Silas were jailed, and you know the story with the jailer who got saved and then baptized the whole household. And after that, it says they all went back to Lydia's house. So the first church in Jerusalem started with house to house, and the first church in Europe starts with a house. And you have to believe it's just a small group there, right? Just a small group there. And so this is, this is the way we should practice our church life, 80%. But maybe after the break, I will say something more about the small group side. But right now, my burden is, what does this group do? What was this group doing in those days? Well, in Acts chapter 2, it says that eventually they ate the bread with singleness of heart. They have grace or favor with the people. Remember that? And it says, and the Lord added to them daily those who were being saved, right? You see what were happening in those small group meetings, in those home meetings? People were at it. They were preaching the gospel. They were feeding people. They were gaining people. They were bringing people into the breaking of bread and the prayers and the teaching and fellowship of the apostles. That's what they were doing. They were a group of people that was just dynamic. They were just crazy, okay? They were just living. They didn't know that much, but they were just living bunch of people. Brothers, we know a lot more than they do. A lot more. A lot more. But are we living? That's the problem. That's the question. I don't think so. I don't think so. They were so crazy, they have everything in common, right? They were so dynamically saved that people are just attracted and drawn to them. So, brothers, okay, I think it's enough of that. Now, Martin, could you just say a few words about just your experience and your burden?
The gospel is, it's a fire. It's a real fire. It burns. It consumes. With what's going on in the United States, just a few weeks ago, my wife and I felt so burdened to seize the opportunity. So we just felt to pray and go out with some Bibles. We had 32 Bibles. We went out to the Truckee Meadow. It's a community college. Set up the table, and we contacted about 60 people. So open, I've never seen people, and all 95% were under 20 years old, and they were just so hungry. And Brother Lee had mentioned this before, and we've heard this from the brothers, just feed them some footnotes. So we used the John 6 18 through 21 about Jesus in your boat, and a few received the Lord. They said Jesus wasn't in their boat. They would like to have him in the boat. We use Matthew 1 about the whole Bible, the New Testament. The subject is on Jesus, the first verse, the last verse. So this whole book will bring you into a relationship with our dear, precious Lord if you want to know him. Anyway, it was just one sister. Flesh sister, she came and she received the Lord and she wanted the Bible. Half hour later, she comes back with her flesh sister, says, I want my sister here to have the Bible too. We want to read the Bible. And we had a challenge for them to read the New Testament 1 year. So we used the morning revival, back of the morning revival, as a schedule for 1 year. So we set them up with emails. So out of the 32 Bibles we gave away, 8 of them are reading the Bible each day. We use MailChimp to send it out portions so they can read, in a footnote to give them in a prayer. And 8 of them, 7 of them are reading it every day, because you can monitor if they're reading it and how to shepherd them. So now is really the time. There's such a hunger out there. What Monroe said, a station, a gospel station, my wife and I. And in a shepherd's tent, this is what we need to be. And you just take 1 or 2 hours a week,
right,
just to set them, and then just send out a text. Bibles for America. I've been sending out the videos.
Mm-hmm.
Why does man exist? Mm-hmm. You know, are you saved?
Mm-hmm.
How to be free from anxiety?
Mm-hmm.
All these can be sent out in your time of prayer and send if you're steady with it, and it'll grow.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, you can even have Zoom. I have a Zoom meeting every night, 8:45 to 9, with some seekers that want to read the Bible every night. It's been a year and a half. Eventually, you do get this fire and you get consumed. I'm the happiest I've ever been in my life, because the gospel is more in my life than it ever has been. And I love the Lord more than I ever have. I love the church more. I love my fellow mankind more than I ever have. Anyway, mm-hmm. I better stop here. But there's a fire in the gospel. Just go Amen. Out.
Amen. Amen. So all these material are just there. Brothers, there's more that, I mean, we have tracks, we have videos and all of this. And now I just heard that you can get more than 8 Bibles. Now you can get 10 Bibles from BFA. You just go to the website, bfa.org, and these things are all there for you to use. And a lot of things are downloadable, and of course, they are sendable, you know, digitally. And so today we have to also use these kind of technology, right, the internet technology for sure, to facilitate the gospel preaching. Brothers and sisters, it's also at every corner of this country. You say, I'm in a bad part of the country, people are not open. No. There are people that are open. It says here, what? How can they believe if they have not heard? And how do they hear if no one proclaims? They're sitting there, and you say you just write them off, this city off, or that place, that campus off. No. There are seekers there. There are those that are ordained, preordained. To be saved. And so and also here the other actually the word that I want to give next week is Paul is clearly said that in 1 Timothy 2 that the Savior God's desire is A, that all men may be saved. Now this is the Savior himself. The Savior God himself, he desire all men to be saved. And it doesn't stop there. There's a B part of his desire, and that they would come to the full knowledge of the truth. So there you have it. And in Paul's writing, not just in Timothy, but in Colossians and in Ephesians especially, Paul put these things, two things together, and that is the gospel of salvation and the word, not and. There's no and there. There's a comma, the word of the truth. Or in Colossians, it says, the word of the gospel of the truth. So to Paul, the preaching of the gospel and the teaching of the truth is a continuum, okay? They're not two separate things. We preach in our teaching. We teach in our preaching. And that's another thing I'm going to talk about next week with the brothers. And so Paul, the Lord Jesus, when he came, he preached and he taught. All right. Especially if you go and read Mark, the Gospel of Mark, he taught and he preached. That was what the Lord did. Sure, he healed the sick. Sure, he raised the dead. Sure, he did those things. But those things are supplementary to the Savior's gospel labor. His gospel labor is mainly to preach and to teach and to preach. And this is what we should do. So Paul was appointed both a herald and an apostle and a teacher. And the apostle simply means one who is sent. That's all. And one who is sent with a commission. But what his work is, number one, to proclaim the gospel of salvation, and number two, to teach the word of the truth. And again, today, dear brothers, even our most basic truth in the Lord's recovery is higher than all the truth that is preached out there. That's not to be proud. That is not to be, to feel superior. It is God's work. It is God's mercy, and here we are in this Lord's recovery under this consummating ministry of the age, and don't you want others to have this? Don't Don't you feel God wants others to have it through us? God will not preach it himself. Today he needs men. He needs channels of blessing to bring this to mankind. And so, brothers, I really feel we got to move. Those who know their God, show strength, take action. Don't wait to be vitalized. You contact a sinner, you'll be vitalized. You save someone, you'll be vitalized on the spot. You contact a seeker, you minister to them, you change their lives. That will make your day, all right? That will make your month, that will make your year. Brothers, then you say, well, we're here to, what if that person is not meant for the church? Well, who are you to say that? Who are you to judge that? Our job is not to do, our job is to sow the seed. Our job is to preach the word. Our job is to bring this gospel, to proclaim this gospel to all of mankind. Who the Lord has selected, who the Lord has chosen, that is in his hands. We do our part. We do our part to speak to them, to minister to them. The Spirit will follow. The Spirit will work with us. And so this, of course, will bring in the small groups. This will bring in the so-called God-ordained way of feeding, of teaching, of perfecting, and all of that. But I'll tell you, brothers, we right now need the first step. We right now need to get through with this first step, and that is to go forth with the abundance of materials, abundance of ready materials for us to go and contact people.